Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. This is the 21st day of October. Man, are we ever moving along in time relationship. Well, get your Bible. We're going to go into a very interesting part four, we believe, of Demons from the Deep. We've been talking about it for the last three sessions. We're going to include this session tonight. We're going to talk about the agenda of the New World Order. Actually, we're going to talk about the hidden agenda of the New World Order, the real reason. A lot of people are speculating it's to rule over man through a false government or a powerful government. And that's probably all true. All that could be true. Everything that we have determined to think about it, the worst case scenario. But there's a scenario that we don't talk a lot about. You don't hear much on the shortwave about this false premise of why that the New World Order is being formed instead of, well, who's the power behind it? Is it actually man in charge? Is man, is this cleverness of man, or is it some kind of a demonic influence that is setting up the world government to become one, all people numbered and coded and identified, and you can't run, you can't hide, just for the express purpose of the Antichrist to sit on his throne? Well, we're going to talk about that. Let's go to 1 John, if you're following us in the scripture. Hope you are. Get your class materials that you're going to need. That is a pen, paper for note-taking, pencil, paper, note-taking. Write down these scriptures. I think you'll find them very informative to your spiritual man that could determine the reason of the Antichrist. Now, we talked a lot about the Antichrist in some of our other lectures, but we're going to scrutinize the false Antichrist. 1 John 2:18 and 19, that's where we're going to start tonight. Children, these are the last days. Well, the Bible says, and the last days, perilous times have come. Now, what is so perilous about eating, drinking, and being merry in the last days? You know, that's a strange paradox. We have wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famine and pestilence leading up to a time when all that's going to end. And right before the second coming of the true Messiah, a golden era of time is going to be brought upon the earth, a time of peace. And the people will be eating and drinking and being merry. I mean, this, something's going to make people awful happy. And you know what it is? Satan himself will appear upon the earth as the true Messiah. Now, I know that this may astound you, or this may give you pause, chuckle, or whatever the case may be, whatever you think about this, this is going to seem strange because Christianity is painted such a blessed scenario And most of the time, they never talk about the false Messiah and the power that he's going to wield. The Bible said that all the world will wonder after the beast whose names are not on the Lamb's book. That's powerful. Well, if man has a number system, a book, if you will, of identity, about who you are and what your master code number is, whatever it is, where it'd be a chip implant. You hear a lot of shortwave people talking about chip implants and things of this nature. But they never talk about, I never hear them talk about, the Lamb's Book. This is a book of coded identification numbers for those who are worthy to escape the wrath of the Lamb, rather than to enjoy the sin fruit, eating, drinking, and being merry reward that Satan, the false Antichrist, is going to come back. Now, who's, have you ever thought about who really is promoting the satanic influence and the reason for the earth to be in the shape it's in right now? Did you know that the biggest thorn in the world, in the side of the world, is Zionism? And yet this is the Christians' number one achievement goal, to make sure that Zionism prevails and is alive and well at the time of the second coming. And it will be. I mean, they're going to carry through everything that they're going to do in relationship to their goals is going to be carried out, met, and probably surpassed. The book talks about a time of trouble. But everybody thinks that that's a time of, you know, wars and rumors of war, but it's not. In the time of the great time of trouble, it is not wars, it is not famine, it is not pestilence. It is the end time, peace, peace. When they say peace, peace, then come a sudden destruction. So they're going to hawk peace. They're going to promote peace. They're going to bring peace in, because this is, these little, you know, Iraq scenarios and probably Iran and probably Syria before we're through, it looks like that perhaps the election is a fixed event. Six and one and a half a dozen. And Curry's done said, see, you can't, when they entrap you with a choice that you have no choice in, then your choice is the less between the two evils. Either way you go, you're going to have to choose evil here. Curry's done said, we're going to widen the war, or expand the war, or put more men in the field. He's on record to say he would do that. Well, Bush says, we don't need more men. We just need to hold our ground and keep on losing, you know, two or three soldiers a day. Probably it'll increase, because you can see an increase in violence. And they're up against, this is the sad part about this for the Americans who don't understand. The American people are just going along with the power brokers of Washington, the scuttlebutters of Washington. These are the rich elite. George Bush, I mean, when he was, when he just joined the National Guard to keep him going to Vietnam, the rich boys don't go. They don't play a poor man's war. The poor men fight the war, and the rich men create it. Well, Mr. Bush went into the National Guard and trained as a fighter pilot. Went AWL for 1 year. Now, any other poor man that had done that, if I'd have done that, or you'd have done that, if you were in the service and you went AWL for 1 year and didn't report to your base, he was supposed to report to Alabama National Guard unit. He didn't report for a year. But all records of this have been expunged. They can't find any major details about Bush. And that's how powerful these people are. It was never meant for Bush to go to Vietnam, because he was being groomed, as was Curry. He was only in the far zone. John Curry was on there for 3 weeks. And he was doing his own filming of his heroics, which the people that were there said there wasn't much heroics going on. I mean, you know, the poor guy that actually stayed there for a year or two and went up and down the Mekong Delta Basin over there and the rivers, patrolling the rivers in these little gunboats. Actually, they become set in Dutch for the guerrillas sitting on the edge of the bank. I mean, they'd take pot shots at you every once in a while, and they'd pick you off one by one, and that's how the Vietnamese were successful in routing us. And, I mean, you know, we just escaped hanging on a helicopter. So Bush evaded. John Kerry went to build up his military record that he's now trying to brag about, and he ain't got much to brag. 3 weeks? 3 weeks as a captain of a gunboat, and he was supposed to have done some Purple Heart heroics. All this is camouflage, planned by long ago the New World Order advancement team to groom these men for the roles that they're playing right now. And they look like they're mortal enemies going at one, slugging it out in the political arena. But when they close down shop and they're through for the day, and they meet behind the closed doors of the Skull and Bones secret society, they laugh at the ignorance and stupidity of the brain dead sheep that are, you know, taking sides in this issue. Men have flames and passion. They know our passion. We get passion for religion and politics and for battles and games. I mean, you know, if it's just a stupid football game, we'll go ape. A baseball game, we'll go ape. Anything that has got excitement and will cause the arousal of the male testosterone and the female giggle box to be turned up, whatever they do, whatever tingles them. We're involved in this. We're a nation of pure pleasure maniacs. Pleasure maniacs. I never said that before in my life, but that's basically what we are. We are a nation of pleasure seekers. If war was to come here, if hard times was to come here, if famine was to come here, if Yahweh would shut the rain off here, I'm telling you, these people will be eating their children, boiling them in the street, and having barbecue tailgate parties while they watch their favorite team eat their babies alive, if that's all they had to fuel themselves. They'd actually eat, consume the sacrifices of the little children. And you say, well, people wouldn't do that, would they? Well, Israel did. Israel's supposed to be sheep, and they're supposed to be non-barbaric. But they did these things. The Bible says that they would boil their babies in famine and eat them. Sad, sad state that man can come to. We're worse than any type of animal. An animal, when it gets hungry, just go into what is called a shutdown hibernation series, and then they stay in that mode till they die. Humans will get out and roam, you know, till they find something to eat. If they can't find nothing in the animal kingdom or the vegetable kingdom, they'll eat man. It's noted. So we can resort to low class beings, that's for sure. Well, exactly what does John do it? Children, these are the last days. You were told that the Antichrist would come, and now several Antichrists have already appeared. No, wait a minute. These are the last days, and you were told that Antichrist must come, and now several or many Antichrists have entered or appeared. Now we know from this that these are the last days. Now this was written 2,000 years ago, approximately. Those who would rival the Messiah came out of our own number. That's interesting. But they were never really belonged to us. For if they had belonged, they would have stayed with us, but they left us or they went out from us. And to prove that no one of them ever belonged to us. That's emphasized by the scriptures that read a little bit different from the King James that I'm looking at here tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, what does that mean? Well, several Antichrists have already evidently, they have already come at the time of writing of those words 2,000 years ago. Many of them were coming then. What is an Antichrist? Well, listen to this. 1 John 2:22-27. I want to read that to you to really tell you what an Antichrist is. Whosoever denies, now it could be that you are an Antichrist, or I'm an Antichrist. Now, the word Christ is the word anointed. So if you don't have an anointing, you have an anti-anointing of righteousness. In other words, you're evil. And the man that denies that Yahweh Shua is the Messiah, he is a liar, he's an Antichrist, and he's denying the Father as well as the Son, because no one who has the Father can deny the Son, and to acknowledge the Son is to have the Father inside as well. Are you listening to me? And we've got these people claiming that in the end time, all we got to fear is the government. We need to get a gun. We need to sharpen our sword. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not for bullets. It will not be bullets that destroy you in the last days. It will be the subtle deception of the Antichrist, the master Antichrist. I'm talking about the false Messiah, the one and only, along with his friends, his buddies, that are coming out of the heavens. They're coming literally out of the heavens. Where do they dwell? Well, did you know that the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that Christ went away? It didn't say he went up on a cloud. It said he went up in the cloud. No. Think about that. Everybody has turned that he went up on a cloud and that he's going to float back to earth on a cloud. He didn't go up in a cloud and he ain't coming back in a cloud. He's coming back in his chariots. These beings actually have mechanical functioning craft that are far superior. I mean, I'm talking about light years in technology advanced over man-made equipment. Man. But man has been assisted in the last 50 years since the advent of Zionism. Strange that all this started in about 1947, when Israel became a state May 14, 1948, and drove out at least 1 million displaced them, Arabs, who had lived there for thousands of years, their home place, drove them out under the pretense that the Jews were God's chosen people and they deserved a homeland, because that was their ancient biblical homeland. And yet the people that went back have no DNA genetic connection to that area. These are Khazarics, come out of Turkey. They are Mongolian in descent. They have no Jewish blood roots whatsoever. They may be a few sprinkling of Jews who have actually failed for the Zionist trick. Did you know that most Jews do not fall for the Zionist trick? Only Christians do? Did you know that the biggest majority of Jews do not support Zionism? I found that unbelievable when I was preaching it to Jews as God's chosen people, and I did preach it for 30 years. Until I really got introduced to factual scriptures and truths that had been either kept from me, or I was blind and been conditioned and blind, I couldn't read. I read the Bible as much and studied as much as anybody, probably more than the average preacher. I mean, I really took the Bible serious and still do. I'm more serious now than I ever was. And I've been in the Bible for 45 years. And I'm talking about fasting and praying in the Bible. I'm talking about sincere desire in the Bible. I'm talking about loving the Word of God. I mean, truly loving it. Loving it more than I love my necessary food. Push my plate back and went after the truth. I mean, I want it. But what I got from the effort was a complete turnaround of the things that I used to think was right now became wrong, and the things I used to think was wrong now became right. Boys, it was a complete, and I preached for 30 years and had to have a complete 30, I hate to say this, you know, if I said 180, degree turnaround, that would be a lot. I had a 360 turnaround. I did a complete donut in the spirit world. I had to revise my whole foundational building. I had to redesign my thinking to incorporate truth, which had evaded me through conditioning that the Jews is God's chosen people when it's not true. The best that we could get, let's take it and say, okay, let's say that the Jews are God's chosen people. And we don't have any argument there, okay? Let's say that they are. And there is a segment of Judah who is the true house of Judah that are part of the family of God. But they're only 1/12 or 1/13th. Not God's chosen people, with the exclusion of those who we call Gentiles, which is literally the scattered house of Israel abroad. And I've then told you that the house of Joseph has the birthright. That's the decree of the scriptures. That's how that the false Messiah is going to be encouraged and has encouraged other denominational systems, Christianity for sure, America for sure. Let's just go to America and Great Britain. Who's in Iraq right now fighting the major battle? The United States major and its ally, the House of Manasseh, the United Kingdom, the crown. What are they fighting for? Well, we say that Saddam was an evil tyrant, dictator, enemy to the cause of freedom. All that guy doing is sitting over smoking cigars and drinking good Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey and enjoying his harem of women and walking around and the people kiss his ring, his hand, rub his neck. These Arabs are one wild bunch of people. And we're going to find that out, that you just can't go in and subdue an Arab. The only way you're going to get rid of the Arab is completely eliminate them. Bible says that the sword, this is by decree of Yahweh, said the sword will be in their house forever. There ain't no way you're going to take the sword of Allah out of the hand of the Arabs. It ain't going to happen. Because the scriptures decree that he will be a wild man, and I'm telling you, they have no, I mean, to them, to die is an honor. To Americans, it's outright, downright, especially when it happens to us. Now, when we're watching the Arabs die, when we're watching our planes, our boys safely sitting in the jet, fly over at, you know, say 1,000 feet, low-level precision bombing, and stick a bomb down a stovepipe, and watch these little Arabs blow up in the street and stuff like this, when we see Zionism over in Gaza, when we see them shooting little children anywhere from 6 to 13 years old in the belly and emptying their 40-round clips into their bellies and just for target practice. I mean, one soldier, they call him an Israeli soldier. I think that's I just have to force myself to say an Israeli soldier. Israel don't do that crap. These are wannabe Jews that are doing this. These are the mongrels. They have no relationship to the blood of Jacob. The Arabs that they're killing have more blood relationship to Jacob than doeth those that's doing the killing in the name of their God. Whoever that is, they won't even speak his name. And you talk about a racial state. It's the only state in the world that proclaims that you have to be Jewish to belong to that nation. Otherwise, you don't get no invite. But they come over here and encourage us to tear down our boundary borders and open it up that everybody can come over here. But over there, only they are allowed to get in. You got to have a Jewish mummy. Something to that effect. The man who denies that Yahweh Shua is the Messiah, he's the liar, he's the Antichrist. Well, who denies that the Messiah, Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Who denies that he's the Messiah? Give you one guess. the very people that the world is supporting to be God's chosen people. Now, isn't that a paradox? Isn't that a complete warp of truth and reality? Have we been conditioned to think like I was for 30 years? Yep. I was conditioned to think. I've had my wife ask me, buddy, why did you preach so long that the Jews was God's chosen people? You preached it for 30 years. And what was you using for scripture? Now I can't find one. Literally, I'd file for $5,000 for anybody can find one. And nobody has took me up. They must think I'm a nut. Well, everybody that used to know me, after I turned over to truth, calls me evil. And back when I was preaching what I consider a lie, everybody's telling me that I was preaching the truth. Now, that ain't Bible. Now I'm offering $5,000 for anybody can preach to me or teach to me or read to me that Abraham was a Jew, like they teach, and that Christ was a Jew, like they teach, that Isaac was a Jew, Jacob was a Jew, David was a Jew, Peter was a Jew, James was a Jew, Paul was a Jew. None of them were Jews. None of them. I got $5,000. If you can find a scripture that says it'd be worth that for me, I just quit preaching. I could retort. I could be at peace if somebody come along and prove to me that our Messiah was a Jew. I could just literally quit preaching. I could retort. I've been preaching for over 40 years. I worked in the work field for 40 years plus. I'm still laboring. I can't retort. There's something in me that drives me to preach the gospel that one more, just one or two, that would hear the truth of the gospel. That's why I labor among you. That's why that I take no charge. I don't charge anybody. People ask for faith, and I said, Pastor Bud, we don't have any money. But we love that message. Could we have that faith? I say it right there. Why? Because I'm Yahweh's free man. And he said, the poor you have with Yahweh, I want to remain. So if I stay a poor, struggling preacher, preaching the truth, not for filthy lucre, but for the love of the truth, which is what I labor for. Now, if I wanted to lie, I could get back into mainstream Christianity. Or if I was to renounce what I believe and get back into mainstream Christianity, I could have revivals packed out. I used to have them anyway. We had a revival right here in Woodway, Virginia, which is within 75 miles of my home. 19 weeks in a row. Thousands converted. 19 weeks, the meeting went on. I never missed one service. I got so weak that they would have to hold me up to sing and to preach. And to lay hands on the sick and the cripple and the blind and the halt and things of this nature that we used to do. 19 weeks in a row. And I worked every day. Didn't miss any time work because I was a supervisor on a job. And the supervisor, if he don't show, you know, his men's got a right to not show. So I showed. It would be 12 and 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning every night when I drive 75 miles home and get into bed literally worn out. And the clock, it didn't seem like that had I laid there 5 minutes, the clock was banging in my head to get up. What drove me to do that? My sincere desire to please my Father. And the closer I got to his truth, the more I realized I was so far away. Draw nigh unto me, he said, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Now, when he draws nigh, it's truth. The things I had drawn nigh to me was tradition. Things I couldn't read, things I couldn't prove, things I thought was right, just because somebody had planted this in my mind when I was a Christian boy. Growing up in the church, listening to the preachers, and we take our cues, you know, we imitate. At least we take the characteristical truths that they were successful with. I mean, we've had revivals and large meetings everywhere. So. Thank you. not necessarily where you find the big crowds you're going to find any truth. Matter of fact, I have found out that it's the opposite. The fewer the people, the more truth. And when you get together in a meeting of Yahwists, people that believe the covenant principles of the divine covenant, that the house of Israel is the children of Yahweh, and it's exclusively to, for, and about, the book is all about them, you find yourself that instead of being a dumb Gentile waiting on some other special chosen race to lead the way, and here they are proclaiming that the Messiah that we trust in was a son of a whore and was fit to be boiled in semen and rubbed poo-poo all over him, and that he was burning in hell. That's what these God's chosen people think about your Messiah. Say, but Pastor Buddy, they're blind. I'll give anybody $5,000 to read me that the Jews are blind. They don't say that. Nowhere does it say that the Jews are blind. Nowhere. And yet I preach it for 30 years. And why did I preach it? Because that's what I heard, and that's the way it was given to me, and that's the way my mind was conditioned to believe it. But I went back and read it and scrutinized it and looked at it and then began to discern the difference between the covenant truths and those things that seem right. Man, there's a vast deal of difference in it. And here I was finding myself, whistling Dixie. The Bible says in Romans 11, 25 and 26, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, Israel is 13 tribes, not one little Jewish tribe. And the blood covenant birthright didn't go to the Jews. It went to the house of Joseph. Now, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it for what it's worth. And chew on that cud, as my mama used to say, my little German-Irish mommy. Chew on that good a while. It is the house of Joseph that will produce the Messiah, not the house of Judah. The house of Judah is literally going to produce a false Messiah. This is the paradox. And those people who claim to be God's chosen people are right now, and this, and when you see it happening, and it will happen, that they're going to build a temple. Now, why are they building this temple? Is supposed to be an exact copy or replica of the house that Solomon built. Did you know that the Bible says that the Messiah tore that one down? People wonder why that the Romans came and destroyed the temple, because the Messiah said they would. And so he must have authorized it in his word. He said, the time will come, there won't be one stone in this place, which is a house of thieves. And we call it a house of God, or the house of Yahweh. Uh-uh, no way. And the one they're going to build will not be the house of Yahweh. It will be for the Antichrist. I can't emphasize this much enough. It will be for the false Messiah, not the true Messiah. For the false Messiah, who the Jews are waiting for, preparing for. And you would say, well, why would they do? Because that they're his people. His people would do the works of a false Messiah. And that's what Satan is. Satan's children will do the works of Satan. You know them by the fruit. And yet they have a marvelous way of turning truth around into a lie, and a lie into the truth. They just warp our minds some marvelous, magical way that they deal with our minds to condition us, and they are experts at media extortion and persuasion and sublingual suggestion through the printed word. Pen is mightier than a sword. They've proved that. They have now put the noose around America, Joseph. The house of Joseph. They have literally wanted to kill Joseph. And they're here carrying out what the original intention was, to kill Joseph. And when I said that there will be peace and safety in the last days, they'll be saying peace and safety. Remember what the Bible said? That Satan will come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom. He will cause a league of the nations to unify. Of course, there ain't going to be no more nuclear threat of war. Nuclear weapons will be put under the auspices of the United Nations, or George Bush Sr. said, the New World Order, which Satan is setting up behind the scenes, the image and the portraying of a one unified world in union and in humanity, and for the humanist view of a multicultural system that Satan is encouraging. He's always encouraged this. And yet his children stay immune from mixing and mingling. I don't know how they do this. I guess it's hard to sleep with a snake. We don't even want it. I mean, when we see them, I mean, you know, they're little hideous looking, crooked nose individuals that, you know, they're always making money. They're always charging you usury for the pawn shops and the jewelry stores and the banks. How they have turned truth around. It's incredible how that we have, and it's not the true Jews. I'm not talking about a true house of Judah. I'm talking about the false Jews that is mentioned in the book of Revelation several times, or in other scriptures several times. Satan himself will transform himself into Jesus Christ, and the Christian church will support that. And those who they deem as God's chosen people will build a temple. Now remember, the Bible says that our Christ, our real Messiah, does not dwell in buildings made with hands. If that had been the case, he would have kept the first one or the second one. And both of them became houses of ill repute, spiritual fornication, illicit goddess worship. Paganism crept in to the house, the temple of Yahweh. Yes, the temple of Yahweh. He said, you've made the den of thieves and a house of snares. And he told us to beware of them that call themselves Jews and are not, and are not. And that's what I'm talking about. Who are we to believe? Are we to believe our Creator? And folks, I'm telling you, this is so amazingly woven, so tight in deception, that it would deceive the very elect. How masterful craftsmen Satan and his cohorts, his angels, and his prophets and his ministers, and his prophetess. Remember what Christ said? I'll cast you in a bed with her, this false system. And whosoever has relationships with her will drink the vial of death. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in perilous times. We will stay in perilous times as long as Satan is alive and well and able to run to and fro in the earth deceiving who he will. And he's got the majority. I'm going to tell you something. He's got 2/3 of Israel fooled. But he has the blessings of Yahweh. Did you know the Bible says that Yahweh himself will send you a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned who hold not the truth of Yahweh's gospel in character and respect, rightly dividing the truth? You see, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is in that death way, and death is how Satan has maneuvered himself into life, calling himself life, and the way that we call life found to be death, and the way that was death was found to be life. So what do you got to choose here? You're going to choose the straight and narrow way, which looks wrong, as opposed to the broad way and a wide gate that looks right. Because Christianity has such a beautiful flavor, and you know, I mean, how many million Christians do we have on the planet? We got 1 billion approximately. Well, how many Arabs do we have on the planet? Of Arabic nature. with the Muslim religion of Allah. Abraham's children. I'll have to say they were Abraham's children. Abraham fathered them into the world, and the Bible said the sword will be in their hand. There's approximately 1 billion of them, so that counters the 1 billion Christians. Now that leaves approximately 4 billion people to be somebody else. Now who are they? Well, they are the ones that can get stirred up on the issues. You got 1 billion Chinese. You got 1 billion Indians. Now at least 2 billion. Who are they? These are the mixed mongrel hybrids that have mongrelized between the other races. And then out of that, leaving out a small portion of the serpent race, the children of Cain, the most inconspicable, hidden in the tall grass of humanity, lays the serpent bite in the heel of Jacob and his children. Trying to find the snake. Out here in the field hunting for a snake blind. Israel is blind. You think we're good snake hunters? Man, we can't even recognize one another, let alone the snake. We can't even get along with each other, let alone dealing with a snake. We got to unite and find ourselves before we can recognize the enemy, locate him, and then bruise his head. The subtle response of Satan and his angels is so strong. Listen to this. 1 John 4:1-4. My dear Israel, it is not every spirit that you can trust. Test them to see if they come from Yahweh. There are many false prophets now in the world. You can tell the spirits that come from God by this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Yahweh Shua is the Messiah has come in the flesh and is from God. But every spirit that will not say this of Yahweh Shua is not from God, but is of the spirit of Antichrist, whose coming you have already been warned about. Now, he is here in the world, children. I've been proclaiming that for a long time. He's well hidden. You have already overcome these false prophets because you are from God. And you have in you one who is greater than anyone in the world. That's all that's saving you, is the defense of the uncorruptible spirit within you. What if you deny him? Well, he can't deny himself. It's going to cry, Abba Father, sooner or later. You may wallow with the pigs, as a sheep. You may get in the pig pen and wallow with them. But after a while, you're going to get tired of the husk, and you're going to come out. Because pigs and sheep both eat corn. Or wheat, or whatever. The only difference, that's all sheep will eat, and grass, and a vegetarian, a hog will eat anything. And that's the way Satan is. He'll go to bed with anything that will further his cause of deception. The Antichrist, the false Antichrist, it's a deceiving spirit that refuses to admit that Yahweh is the Mighty One, Yahweh Shua, God in the flesh. Now let's look at 2 John verse 7. There are many deceivers about their business in the world, refusing to admit that Yahweh Shua has come in the flesh. They are the deceiver and they are the Antichrist. Because you know a lot of spirits won't confess that our Messiah, our Savior, was Yahweh in the flesh. Every spirit that won't confess that's an Antichrist. And so you could be an Antichrist. You better examine John 1:1. Take a good long look at John 1:1. Take a long look at John 1:14, John 1:10, John 10:30. Take a look at some of these scriptures, Revelation 1:8. Take a look at some of them. They proclaim that God Almighty Yahweh visit us in the flesh, and Satan and his children killed him, literally. They literally killed him. Now, Satan has to show himself. You see, Yahweh had enough courage and determination and devotion to his children that he came as a father to his flock and searched us out and called for us. Many was ashamed of him. Many wouldn't come to him. Many denied him. But he couldn't deny himself. He remained faithful. It broke his heart. He cried. He wept. He wept over the things that we could have had as opposed to what we were receiving. And all we were receiving was Satan's lies. And we believe them because it's more easy to believe a lie than it is the truth. When bad news, you know, is told about someone, if it's a lie, I'm telling you, that news will travel like wildfire. Something good about somebody never makes the rounds. We never hear nothing good about nobody. It's always bad. Satan and his angels are always painting the sheep as bad and themselves as good, but it's just the reverse. So what we got to do is come to realize that there are many deceivers in the world refusing to admit that Yahweh came in the flesh. And if you're that type of person, I know exactly who you are. I give you the word test, and you refuse that the facts that Yahweh came in the flesh, I've already got you branded. The scriptures has already got you noted. And I've got enough scriptural intellect in me by knowing the scriptures. I keep my eye on you. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what is an Antichrist? What is his goal? The New World Order is actually going to set up a situation of a unified one world government with everybody's names in the earth on the records. Yahweh is coming with his book of records. Remember, the very hairs on your head is numbered, and you'll give an account for every idle word. This is the process of the Spirit reckoning to know who you are and what you're all about. So then, if you deny him, like I said, that's okay. He can't deny himself. Now, what will he do with that flesh that denied him? He'll destroy that, but your soul will be saved. See, he ain't going to lose none of his children. He didn't lose one. He ain't going to lose one. If you acknowledge him, fine. If you deny him, fine. He can't lose himself. He's in you. And if he's in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It will survive the test. And when you're delivered up in the last day, remember I said that it's not going to be the world wars, nuclear holocaust, and you better get you a generator and all that crap. That ain't what the Bible says about the end times. The Bible says they'll be eating, drinking, and being merry right up to the day that the Messiah comes. Now, who's coming before the Messiah? The Antichrist. The false Messiah. And so the New World Order is working as Satan's children, who have all the capital finances in the world to bring this about. Because see, Satan, I'll give you all these valuables if you'll, you know, like Christ or some little child that could be tempted. You know what I told him? You're messing with a mighty God. You better get your rump out of my face. You better let me not see you in front of me no longer. You better walk behind me, old man. And you better get back out real quick and you better lay low. And that's exactly what Satan did. He got behind him. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Get behind me, Satan. Did you know that Satan knew who he was? Did you know the Bible said that Satan believes there's one Yahweh, and he trembles? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm guaranteeing you this. Those that believe in the Trinity don't even tremble at the one God, because they divided the God up to some kind of a grotesque, freakish God, three-headed God. Well, here comes the sacred name people. Oh, they got it all sod. Well, they ain't three in the Godhead. There's two. Yahweh and Yahshua. Two different ones, not the same one. So a two-headed God. They created a two-headed God. They're not bold enough or brave enough to say that the original name of our Creator, Yahushua, in the beginning of time, was the same incarnation 2,000 years ago that walked in the flesh. This was God, the literal, what we would call God, Almighty God, incarnate into a flesh and call himself by his original name. He didn't take on some other name. Named him some other name. People call him a Jew. He didn't call himself a Jew. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says that Christ said he was a Jew. He even indicated he was a Jew. It's always somebody else saying that. You can say it too, but it didn't make it so. Well, you can believe it, but it don't make it so. You got to search out the facts because the Antichrist is after you. And if he don't want you, he'll get you. You don't watch little children, the wolf will scatter you. You don't watch little children, the wolf will scatter you. You don't watch little children, the wolf will scatter you. Look away beyond the blue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming and gone, and you see that I can't sing, so I held that to the last part of the show here so that I wouldn't wreck on your hearing too bad. But you got to watch. Got to watch, little children, because the wolf has come down, and the wolf is coming back. I said that Yahweh made his appearance in flesh. Now here comes Satan. Satan and his angels, which are created beings. You see, God was a spirit, so he had to come as a man. Well, Satan, that man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to sit in the temple showing himself that he's God. All you Christians going to run over and lick his boots. He'll never have to wax his boots or take the dust out of not even his angels who are scared to death will have to dust his boots anymore. You know why? Because all the deceived Christians will be able to lick the dust right off his boots. Deceived and being deceived by the master deceptor, the deceiver himself. Satan and his angels will be here, sitting in the temple, doing marvelous, peaceful works with a multicultural Judeo-Christian unification of the New World Order and the poor Arabs, slaves, Abraham's seed, suffering, getting it from both ends. But the Bible speaks about, in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, a great promise is made. It says the day will come that the yoke will be broken. And ladies and gentlemen, that's when Israel is going to reclaim their spiritual birthright heritage. Joseph, the Messiah, the true Messiah, will come back in flame and fire. He's not coming peacefully. It's Satan that's coming peacefully. Yahweh's coming in flame and fire. Satan is coming to love you and to hug your neck and to heal you and cure all your diseases and give you marvelous technologies, things that you lusted for. Tickle your ears. He's just going to give you more of the same of Christianity. The Messiah is going to come back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the true God and obey not his gospel. And that's the truth. And that's the way it is. Well, if you'd like to write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight on the 21st day of October. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight, I love to see emails come in after the show. At least I know you're out there. This is a soundless media. I don't hear you. You maybe can hear me, but I don't hear you. Sound off. Write me. Call me. Email me. Make it easy on yourself. Just send me an email if you're listening to computer download. If you're listening to us on The Rock 100.3, email, call, or email me if you've got computer facilities. That's Buddy1. Buddy1. The numeral one. Buddy1 at CenturyTel. CenturyTel.net. buddy1@centurytale.net. Drop me an email. Give me a call. I like to talk to people on the telephone. And I love to read your letters. We get letters. And I'm just a one-man gang here, but I do stay busy 7 days a week. I'm on live 6 days a week. I'm on for 1 hour 6 days a week preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom. Not the false one. Don't take the first ship out, ladies and gentlemen. You Christian won't get raptured out. You're going to get no ships. You're going to ride away. You ain't going to come back. Satan's got a plan for you. Kill you, steal you, destroy you, because he's got you deceived. Now, the Messiah says that he will send his angels for a purpose, not to rapture you out. But he said, I will send my angels to gather you together. And he said, I will separate the sheep from the tares or the goats. And we'll have a great time doing that. Praise Yahweh. So I'm looking forward to that separation day when the good guys are coming down. Praise Yahweh. Hang in there. Remember this. I'm going to go to the hospital.